Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy.
With all this mess, the radio is the only thing that's really working good.
Stop spending! Stop spending!
Welcome to the dawn of a new unified Republican government.
They can run the okey-doke on you, bamboozle you.
We're not enemies, but friends.
So we finally have this God that's gonna come down and help us all.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You just referred to Trump as a God.
Yeah.
On KMOX.
Hey, welcome, folks. Glad to have you with us. Glad to be with you. Mark is not in today. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Mark Reardon. We have a lot on the table to discuss and not a lot of time to talk about it. The president is in town and going to be speaking. We're going to try and carry that live. In the meantime, schools all across the country had students walking out, and this deals with the shooting in Florida. And our own Carol Daniel from KMOX Newsroom was in O'Fallon, Illinois today, covering the student walkout. And we've got her on board with us for a couple of minutes to kind of kick off the program. Carol, how are you this afternoon?
I am great. How are you?
I am great, too. At least I do great. Maybe I just great people. Anyway, we had a chance to chat with some of these students, I assume, and I'm curious, were there any kids who were there saying, gun control is not the answer, or was it just one-sided?
Well, I did not expect to see any students walking out of O'Fallon Township High School who are opposed to gun control, because those who walked out were in support of the walkout. So there weren't any in there this morning who were saying gun control is not the answer. And I didn't expect to see that at all.
I thought maybe somebody in there would say, well, you know, I'm out here in support of those families in Florida.
There was that, for sure.
But gun control is not the answer, and that never happened. Did they talk about how it got so completely organized in such a short period of time?
Not today. They did not discuss that. I am aware of how the March 24th event was or is being organized. I am aware of that, that this has sort of spread like wildfire around the country, that students feel, from what I understand, that this is their time to say something, that they are moved for whatever reason. It's often difficult to, I see, to pinpoint how any movements get started. What that linchpin event was, if you will. This one, I think that it seems that students are seeing what happened in Florida. They're seeing students walk out in Florida, and they are joining them. This is not the first issue that students have gotten involved in, but to this degree, this is a little bit different. And some have said that, you know, once Ferguson happened, that protests became more natural. The women's protest in Washington, D.C. after the president's inauguration, that has happened. So walkouts are becoming more common. I shouldn't say walkouts. Protests are becoming more common. How this one got organized so quickly, I do not know. They are just aware. These students are on social media. They know what's happening before we know what's happening as their parents and as adults.
It's just amazing. Because I can't even organize a family reunion and get everybody to show up.
No, isn't that the truth? And yet, don't try to pick a T-shirt color. You're in trouble.
And yet, practically every school in the country, all at the same time, all doing the same thing. And they're high school students. They're not, you know, with the women marching in Washington, you know that adults are involved. Money is involved. They earn money. They're working. And yet these kids all pull this off. I think there had to be some adult supervision behind this.
There was not. Not today. Not today. There were no adults who were behind them. There weren't adults out there with them.
Right.
There weren't parents out there with them. There were staff members, administration,
yeah,
teachers that were out there monitoring today. It is good to point out that O'Fallon Township High School, the superintendent sent a letter to parents last week on Wednesday, and then sent an email to students on the 8th, telling them what was expected of them, and giving them the word that this was not allowed today, that this is an act of civil disobedience today. This is a school, a high school of just over 2,400, almost 2,500 kids, and I saw 30 or 40 walk out today. So you didn't have anywhere approaching a majority that walked out today. Most chose not to and chose to stay in class. So there weren't any adults. I did ask several if they had spoken to their parents about walking out today, and the five that I spoke to said they had, and I got kind of a common reaction. One mom told her daughter that you're going to have to suffer the consequences, and her daughter said to her mom and to me that she was prepared for that.
Well, that is fascinating. I was wondering if parents were, you know, aware of what their kids were doing. I really appreciate your coming on with us, Carol, and doing yeoman's work covering it all.
Trying anyway. It's my job. I need to pay my mortgage, so I better do this job well.
and you do. The mortgage payment is safe.
Yes, thank you.
There you go. KMOX's Carol Daniel, who spent some time this morning in O'Fallon talking with high school students. My first impression is somewhere behind all this is an adult with money. Kids, yeah, they can, you know, get tweets and all kinds of messages and show up at the right place at the right time. But this thing is pretty well organized, and my guess is somewhere behind it there is an adult and a good deal of money. But a couple of things occur to me. You know, if they were really concerned about these students in Florida, why didn't they do this after school? Why couldn't they gather after class instead of walking out of school? They're supposed to be in there learning, and instead, they're outside, I would argue, protesting. I would love, dearly love, to have one of those kids call into the program. I would love to have somebody who supports what they did, supports their message, call into the program. I don't seriously think that's going to happen, but it seems to me that these kids don't really know what's going on. But I've got some ideas, and I've made myself clear on what I think it takes to secure the schools and protect the children. So we're going to talk a little bit about schools and education, and we invite you to join us, 314-436-7900. The toll-free number is 800-925-1120. If you've got some ideas on how to keep these kids in schools safe, why don't you share them with us? Because I'd love to hear it.
First with breaking news, KMOX, St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Hey, it's the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Mark. KMOX News Time is 2:20. This time check is sponsored by Goodwill. Donate your car and get blues tickets at MERSGoodwill.org. If you just flip the radio on, we're talking about these kids who've been walking out of school across the country. Apparently, it's not because they want to offer condolences to these families in Florida. It's because they want gun control, which I don't think works. So I've got my own views on what I think works, but I'm curious to see what you think will really make these kids safe in school. I will tell you right off the top of my head, I believe that the President of the United States is correct when he says, arm willing teachers. In fact, I would argue that what he should do is use the Department of Education the way the Democrats have done it in the past, weaponize it, and say if the state of Missouri or Florida or any other state wants money from the Department of Education, you have to allow willing teachers to train and conceal carry in the classroom. That's what I would do. What would you do? I don't know. I'm going to find out, though, because we're going to chat with you. 314-436-7900. Toll-free number is 800-925-1120. 1120. And we'll kick this off with Jeff. Jeff, welcome to the Mark Reardon program. How are you this afternoon?
Hi there. Thank you very much. I have some thoughts and maybe some information for you, as I have been doing a fair amount of my, to my best ability, some diligence on this. What seems to be happening and what seriously concerns me, I have a student in Clayton, and I've spoken to the PTO and the board, and I will continue to, is I'm worried about the adult political landscape being pushed down into our kids' heads. And frankly, what seems to be going on here is this is a quickly groomed plug-in by the Women's March. If you go to womensmarch.com/enough, you will see everything there is about this movement. There is also a toolkit to help the students move forward in this activism. The toolkit mentions guns 30 times, violence 28 times, health twice as a public health comment, but not related to anything else. And it uses the word mental once. Mental is used in terms of protecting people with mental illness against being stereotyped and maybe overly sensitizing people to being more comfortable with bringing this up, which is maybe why the students, the administration, the police department, and the FBI kept kicking it down the road. So basically, it's a plug-in. It's quickly groomed and put together for the students to do this. There is no mention of mental health in the toolkit. It goes immediately to gun control. It points out the different legislative bills that they want people to protest against. Even talks about bots to be put up against the NRA. So it is a political activist movement, and disrupting schools for the purpose of political activism, I don't think, is part of the First Amendment protection for students.
All right. I did know that the Women's March, that they were behind this, and I was going to bring that up because I knew that adults were behind this somewhere. And this is, in fact, a propaganda move to push willing dupes, kids who just don't know better, to make their point of view. Jeff, thank you for the call.
May I add one more thing, please?
You got to go very fast because
I will very quickly. The Women's March recently has to deal with a connection to Louis Farrakhan that are apparently they're not very ashamed of at the highest level. So take a look at that in Atlantic Magazine. Thank you for your time.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. Yeah, Louis Farrakhan is the ugliest, most horrible person. He is anti-Semitic. I don't even want to go down that road because it'll tie up the rest of the hour. Tony, welcome to the Mark Reardon Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just think that just because somebody brings something up about a ladies' movement or whatever, you're selling the kids short. If you just to think that they can't come up with something like this or similar to this on their own, and they do have a right to protest or walk out or offer support.
They have, wait. They have a right to walk out in the middle of class?
Sure. To draw attention to a cause that they feel is right.
So let's fire all the truant officers because they aren't necessary, because after all, it's okay if kids walk out of class.
You know what? There's kids skipping school every day.
Don't we try to corral them with truant officers because we're paying tax dollars to give them an education, and instead they're outside protesting? Why didn't they do this after school?
It's one day out of the year. I imagine they can.
Why didn't they, Tony?
They're not going to get the publicity like this.
Tony, why didn't they do it after school? They could have been school protesting after without wasting my tax dollars.
Well, I don't think it's a waste of tax dollars. I think it's a learning experience for the children.
They could have learned that experience. Tony, they could have learned that experience after class. I paid for their teachers to teach them in class, and they got a tacit approval from the schools to walk out of class and waste my tax dollars.
Not all of them. Not all of them they didn't.
All of them, did I?
No, but
all right,
you said
so let's
they
not
got
even
a free
go there.
From them.
So let's not even go there. So how would you protect the schools? What would you do to keep these kids safe?
Well, I'd do a couple of things. I would definitely look at a little more security measures of some type. I have two family members that teach that don't want anything to do with the guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know where the liability would go if a teacher shoots a student coming out of a classroom and something's going on.
Well, I don't think that would
be responsible.
By law, they would not be in trouble. If they're doing what any reasonable person would do, they would not be responsible. But, you know, the alternative, Tony, is the bad guy with a gun has nobody to distract him. He can just plink away killing our kids. And
well,
isn't that worse?
Well, there was guards there at that school that did nothing also.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. But there was a teacher, but there were teachers in all of these events that were brave enough to throw themselves, to put their bodies between the students and the gunmen. Wouldn't it have been better if they could have turned fire on the gunmen?
Well, sure, but that's right now it's not, you know, it's not legal. It's not an option at this point, and I don't think it's the best option. That's all I'm saying.
It is an option.
Why don't they hand them all out flak jackets?
It is an option in Missouri. Schools do have the right to allow their teachers to conceal carry. It's the law. They do have that right, just that schools aren't doing it. Tony, thank you for the call. Glad
right
to have
on.
You.
Glad have a good day.
All right, you too, buddy. Glad to have you on the Mark Reardon Show. Let me squeeze in one more quick call here. Jim, welcome. Glad to have you on the Mark Reardon Show. How are you?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I agree with you and the president on arming teachers. Of course, it needs to be voluntary. They need to go through some training, CCW. But I think they're missing out on a major resource, parents, grandparents. A lot of parents and grandparents have had military experience. They have concealed carry weapons. And believe me, you know, they could volunteer maybe one day a week or something to just walk the halls and be there. And let's face it, they've got more skin in the game than anybody.
Yeah.
If there are kids there at that school, and I have two kids at Rockwood, and one school has a police officer, the other school has nobody except a locked door. So I'd be, you know, I always worry about that, and I'd be more than willing to spend one or even 2 days a week there volunteering, you know, just to have an armed presence.
That certainly is a better alternative than what the mayor of New York is doing, and I'll explain what he's doing in just a few minutes. Jim, thank you for the call. Glad to have you.
Hey, one last thing. Columbine and Florida both had armed guards that didn't do anything.
Yeah.
They didn't have any skin in the game.
A little terrifying when you think they're the ones that are going to protect you. When seconds count, law enforcement's minutes away. Great job, though, they do.
Right.
KMOX is the... It is the voice of St. Louis. I'm pleased to be on. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Mark Reardon.
Get ready for the Blues and Avalanche Thursday night. Pre-game skate 6:30. The puck drops at 7. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all the action. Hear it here on your home for the best Blues coverage. KMOX.
Hey, it is the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Mark. And if you just turned the radio on, we've been chatting about these kids who have been doing this walkout around the country. We knew this was organized by adults, and they're anti-gunners. And I think these kids are just dupes, frankly. And a couple of things occur to me. One is, if they wanted to do a protest, they should have done it after school. Because every one of us is paying taxes that is ostensibly so they can sit in a classroom and absorb some knowledge. Instead, they walked outside. They've wasted our tax dollars. If that's not bad enough, they're doing it not because they relate to these kids in Florida or their condolences are being offered up to the families in Florida, because instead they have a political agenda to ban guns, and they think this will give them enough impact to perhaps make it happen. If you really want to protect kids in school, I don't think banning guns does it. But I am curious to see if you have some ideas on what you think it will take to protect kids in schools. And if you want to share those ideas, I'd love to hear them. 314-436-7900. Toll-free number is 800-925-1120. Also, the President of the United States is in town. And he is going to have a roundtable, a discussion. We're going to try and catch the president live and carry it here on the station, the news, the voice of St. Louis, KMOX. And we'll discuss what's kind of swirling around in his statements. So that's all coming up, and a whole bunch more. Let me do this. I'm going to jump in here and grab some phone calls because I am way, way, way behind. Let me kick this off with Rick. Welcome, Rick. Glad to have you on KMOX.
Hi, Gary. I've got a couple of things. One, I think that with technology today, it would be fairly inexpensive for the schools to put in wireless panic buttons, you know, on the external of the building, on the internal walls, in the classrooms. Because what happens is if an intruder comes in, you don't know where they're going to show up. But even if one student sees them far away and it looks suspicious, they can hit that panic button. Immediately goes to the administration, immediately goes to local police. That would save a little time. And then secondly, I agree with the other gentleman that called in. I think for free we could get enough volunteers in this nation at even two-hour intervals of retired policemen, firemen, military people that have to get retrained and recertified mentally and physically to stand in and stand up for our students. And thirdly, I think that there should be about a 60 to 90 second delay when somebody pulls the fire alarm so the administration can immediately figure out if it's an all clear, if it's false or whatever. And they ought to have bolts on the doors so when they get that all clear, they can immediately bolt those classrooms shut. So that's basically...
Those are some good ideas. I don't necessarily think that that really pins down the bad guy, but I think everything helps, and at least everything right. in your rundown. But it's a lot better than what Mayor de Blasio is doing for the public schools in New York City. Do you know what he's doing?
No.
Mayor de Blasio believes that there shouldn't be any guns in school, so he's taking the armed police officers that have been in the schools in New York City and removing them.
Oh, Lord.
So what? He's doing what? He's taking out
It's not about the good guns. It's about the bad guns in the wrong hands.
You bet. You
have to defend yourself.
Rick, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Glad to have you on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you.
All righty. Toby, welcome. Glad to have you on the program. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
I think that all the schools should be outfitted with safety equipment. I saw a piece on the news about how a school down south had installed cameras in the hallways, and they had someone to monitor those cameras. They had tear gas so that if someone was in a hall, they saw them in the hall. They shot the tear gas in that particular hall. They had door locks and bolts on every door, and I also think the NRA should pay for it.
Why should the NRA pay for it?
Because I think that they're giving so much money, the lobbyists are giving so much money to the congressmen, I think there should be a law. We had tried to get rid of lobbyists, and if they want to give money because of the guns, and I know it's not the guns, it's the people who are possibly mentally ill, but they say the people who shoot the guns, but I do believe that the NRA has to put some skin in this because I think that they should take that money that they donate to congressmen and use it for making our schools safe.
But they don't have any connection to this. They're not causing the problem. So why should they be compelled to give up the money that they're using to protect, for instance, someone who believes in the Second Amendment, take away the money that they've sent to this organization so they can protect their Second Amendment rights? Doesn't make sense.
I just believe that they have some skin, that they are responsible to a point.
For what? But what did they do to cause this? How can they be responsible for this?
I don't know. That's how I feel. I feel like the money is, I think lobbyists should be banned, and I think the NRA, the money, they spend so much money in the lobbyists, I think. The lobbyists do. I think that it should be part of their problem.
Even though you can't come up with a connection. All right. Hey, Toby, thank you for the call. I'm glad to have you on the Mark Rudin Show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Feelings are never wrong. You know, however she feels, that's genuinely how she feels. And I'm not going to ridicule her feelings. They're real to her. But there is no connection between the NRA and any of these shootings. And so they should not be held fiscally responsible for the shooters who are abusing their Second Amendment rights. I don't see the connection there. They're not arming them. They're not telling them to go into the schools and do these things. They're just I belong to the National Rifle Association. It's not just Dave Keene and a couple of other people at the board of directors. It's millions and millions of us all around the country. We are the NRA. And we send our money there because we expect them to protect our Second Amendment rights. And, you know, so, you know, taking that money and forcing it to go in a different direction, I would argue that would be unconstitutional at any rate. All right, I got a ton of phone calls. I want to get to them, and I'm going to do that next. Don't forget, the president will be speaking soon. We're going to carry that live. You're listening to News Radio 1120. KMOX.
Here to now. Total Information PM starts at 4 with news, weather, traffic, and information you need on KMOX.
You bet. It's the Mark Rudin Show. I'm Gary Nolan sitting in for Mark. We've been talking about guns. I wonder why people hate the NRA. What is it exactly that the NRA did or does that people hate? I really am curious. In the meantime, we've got the President of the United States. He will be chatting shortly. We'll be covering it. It's a roundtable. We'll cover that live. We've got news, traffic, weather, sports, the whole nine yards coming up on News Radio 1120 KMOX. But let me go to the phones on keeping schools safe and chat with Paul. Paul, welcome. Glad to have you on the program. Yeah. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call. Real quick, first of all, let me answer to your question, why the kids are walking out of the school during school time. It's simple. You just said that this is organized by adults with money, and a measurement of success of their actions is the numbers of kids participating. So ask yourself what a kid would rather do, stay in school or walk out. So I think they achieve greater numbers by allowing the kids to walk out during school time. Probably they're too busy with their mobile devices after school. So
if they tried to organize this at 4 in the afternoon, these kids would all be home.
I would say so.
But they can get out of math class and stand outside for half an hour. That's good for them.
That's what I think.
Paul?
But regarding the school safety, I just want to relay an idea that I heard on another radio station. I wish I can take credit for it because I believe it has some merit. The police departments, in coordination with the school departments, with the school districts, should set up police substations in most of the schools, manned by 2-3 officers, one always on duty. They are uniformed. They carry guns. I don't see why this is not picking up, this idea, because I think it's brilliant. And that, in combination with some personnel, school personnel carrying being armed based on, you know, upon proper training.
Yeah, that would not be a bad idea. I don't have a problem with that. I don't know what it takes to staff a mini station in each school or how much money it costs.
No, not each school, but some of them at least, the larger school. And by the way, the caller who put this idea out was a police officer who actually was part of that police substation that was organized in one of the schools because they ran out of space within the police department, and that seemed to be a great idea. I think it's a good idea. It should be tried at least.
Not a bad idea. Paul, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate it. Glad to have you on the Mark Rudin Show. Hey, Tiffany, welcome. Glad to have you on the Mark Rudin Show. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing today?
I am well also.
Outstanding. I was calling to share my opinion that I do not believe that the teachers should have guns in the classroom. There are some teachers that you can't even trust not to be inappropriate with your children with all of these sexual affairs that some of these teachers are having with their students. So how can you think that they have the mental wherewithal to be trusted with a weapon? What I actually think should happen is that there should be a trained, either military or a regular police officer on every floor of each classroom, every floor of each school, and they do active patrols to make sure that there's nothing inappropriate about to come about. Now, I went to high school in St. Louis City, and there were police officers there. However, they sat inside of the office of the principal and chatted up with the principal's secretary for most of the day, unless somebody came rushing in saying, hey, we need some help. So they need to be like they're on active duty and do patrols. I would expect someone with more training to be better equipped to handle something like this rather than a teacher. We're worried about taking kids out of school that we're wasting tax dollars. I'm wasting my teacher's time getting them trained to handle a firearm.
But what if they want to? Tiffany, what if they want to? What if they
want to? If they want to, I'm going to say this because I do believe in the Second Amendment. I will never take anybody's gun away. However, with an asterisk, I will say there's no need for assault-type weapons to be in the hands of an everyday person.
Well, nobody's going to. Nobody's going to. Very quickly. No teacher is going to conceal carry what you're calling an assault-type weapon. I assume you're referring.
I'm referring to the public at large that young man down in Florida had.
You want to ban the AR-15?
I want to ban assault-type weapons.
What is an assault-type? Wait a minute. I carry a Glock 9mm semi-automatic, and it will shoot just like an AR-15, one round at a time when I pull the trigger. If I leave it in my holster, it's not assaulting anybody. If I shoot it at somebody, it is an assault weapon. It is a weapon that I use to assault. So you're talking about rifles
guns out there they can fire off many, many rounds at one time.
There are handguns that can do that. There are handguns that can fire off an FN 5.7. You can crank out 20 rounds, and it's a handgun that you put in a holster and carry around. It's small.
I don't think that those types of guns need to be in anybody's hand. You do not need to shoot off that many rounds for any given reason.
Why?
If you're not on the front lines of combat.
Well, that's not true. You see, I enjoy target practice.
Tell me where.
I go out target practicing all the time, and I enjoy being able to keep shooting and not have to stop and rearm. But if you were to ban them, Tiffany, and I'm going to go on your side here. Let's say we ban them. Ostensibly, we really want to keep the bad guys from getting them, but you and I are going to say we'll ban them so that nobody has them, right?
Nobody needs
them. All right. So you and I are going to agree. You and I are going to say we're going to ban them so that nobody has them. In particular, we want the bad guys not to have them, but nobody should have them. How do we keep?
You don't know who the bad guys are.
Right. And how do you keep?
There's the problem.
How do you keep the bad? There are 15 million Armalite rifles in the hands of citizens in this country. That doesn't include the AK-47 or a whole host of other semi-automatic rifles. So how are we going to get them back?
That I do not know, but I know moving forward we should start doing something.
How are we going to keep, Tiffany, how are we going to keep the bad guys from getting them? Let's say we successfully...
You keep saying bad guys, but bad guys is everybody.
No, it's not everybody. I've got an AR-15. I have never shot anybody with it. It sits in my safe at home. But I'm willing to give it up. If you can keep the bad guys from getting them, I'll give up mine. How do you keep the bad guys?
As soon as you tell me how you can readily identify, quote unquote, the bad guys.
See, if you can't.
You can't do that.
Well, if you can't, I can't. If you can't ban them.
Which is why, if you can't identify them, nobody should get to have them.
Well, how do you stop the bad guys from getting them after you've banned them?
I don't know. That's going to require more thought. I don't think that teachers need to have them.
Tiffany, if we treat banning assault weapons, as you call them, like we treat the drug war, those guns are going to be smuggled across the border all over the place.
I'm not even going to go there with you.
Yeah, I'm a libertarian. I'm with you.
I'm saying is somebody has to figure out some type of way to mitigate the access to these types of weapons.
But you can't.
And there has to be a starting point somewhere.
But you can't. You can't go to that starting point unless you can tell me how to keep the guns out of the hands of the bad guys. And you can't
do that. What I do know is
Tiffany,
I gotta
move on.
We can't reach you yesterday's breakfast, but we can always look forward to what we're going to prepare to eat tomorrow.
Which means nothing in terms of how to keep the bad guys from getting guns. I appreciate the call, Tiffany. Thank you so much. Chuck, welcome.
Bye-bye.
Glad to have you on the Mark Reardon Show. How are you?
Hey, Gary?
Yes.
How are you?
I am well.
Hey, I think it's a great idea. You know, I think some people think we're going to force feed all teachers to be armed, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about qualified teachers who are willing to arm themselves in the classroom, and certainly the weapon has to be put in a place where the students cannot get to it. But we've got to protect students, and we got to take action and take action now. If we make guns illegal, the criminals are still going to get weapons. The good people aren't going to have weapons. I don't know why people can't understand that.
I was trying to explain that to Tiffany, that if you take my gun, you got to take the guns from the bad guys, too. You have to keep the bad guys from getting them, and you can't. And one more thing, let me just throw this out there. The Second Amendment is actually there to protect us against a tyrannical government. It's not just for the bad guys, not just for hunting, not just for target practice.
You know, Gary, when I talk to people about what you just said, people will say if the government wants to come after us, they've got more powerful weapons, bazookas, rocket launchers, and stuff like that, and we'd never be able to combat against them. But there's always, you know, I think people have to be able to protect themselves. And I think many Americans don't think that could ever happen in our country, but it happens all over the world, and it has happened historically all over the world. And when people don't have weapons to be able to...
When we give up our guns, it'll happen here. The Japanese that attack us at Pearl Harbor wouldn't do it because they thought there'd be a gun behind every tree. All right, KMOX News, and I'm Gary Nolan for Mark Reardon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.